This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Major League Baseball spring training underway with the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League action beginning this weekend. The defending world champion Los Angeles Dodgers are the favorites to win the World Series. The Yankees are 6-1. Atlanta Braves, San Diego Padres both 9-1. White Sox 9-1. And the Mets are 12-1. On a numbers game with Gil Alexander, Paul Sporer of Fangraphs talked about his two bets to collect the most hits this year in Major League Baseball.
This one surprises me that it's 75 at William Hill. Juan Soto is at 75-1 for the most hits.
I would not have guessed that. Wow. Okay.
I mean, that's a brilliant hitter there. That seems way too long. I'm taking that all day. It's not even a question for me on that one.
He's still 75-1. That's updated. Yep.
I mean, that's huge. And then, you know, on something like this, getting a piece of Coors is always a good idea. Yeah. I think Trevor Story at 100 is still nice. You know, batting average isn't as much his game as it is, say, Blackman's or even Nolan Arenado's, but he still has that capability. And basically what you're trying to bet on with something like Story is that his road numbers don't fall too far behind, right? If he can hit like a 280 on the road and then go off for like, you know, 330 plus at home, which is a big number, but it's Coors, that's how you're going to get there. You need his road numbers to not dip below a certain level, or else it just puts too much burden on what he's doing on the road.
FanGraphs' Paul Sporer on a numbers game with Gil Alexander, heard weekdays from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern on VSiN. Point Spread Weekly editor Steve Mackinnon joined Brady Cannon and Michael Lombardi on the Lombardi Line to discuss a college basketball end-of-season betting trend to keep an eye on as the regular season winds down.
I've done this piece the last 2 years, and I have to keep doing it because it's just so, it's been so successful for me, and I know a lot of readers have followed this too. Power conference handicapping in the last 2 weeks of the season, home court advantage picks up quite a bit. There's been some teams that have really set themselves apart from the rest of the field as far as really being on top of their game at this time of year. And in general, I mean, it may be just because it's the end of the season, you got a different form of handicapping, I think, that you need to have going into these games. Okay, one of the most concrete things that I think I drew from this is my list of the top 14 teams. As far as these 14 teams have won 70% of their games over the final 2 weeks of the regular season of the power conferences. All 14 of those teams have had the same coach in place during that run. So I think that cannot be coincidental. These teams play their best ball at this time of the year, getting ready for March and the tournaments to come.
Point Spread Weekly editor Steve Mackinnon on the Lombardi Line, heard weekdays noon to 2 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. 14 teams from the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, SEC, Pac-12, and the Big East have won 70% of their games in the final 2 weeks of the regular seasons in the past 5 years. Those same teams have gone 154-99 against the spread. A top team, Oregon, 17-1 straight up and 14-3 against the spread. Number two, Virginia, 18-2, 13-7 against the spread. For the entire list, read Steve Mackinnon's article in this week's Point Spread Weekly at VSiN.com. VSiN experts are analyzing all of the hoops, hockey, tennis, soccer action each day to make you a sharper better. Right now, you can get everything VSiN has to offer from now through the College Hoops Final for just $50. Invest in your sports betting success and start your special offer now at VSiN.com/subscribe.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Before you place your next bet, visit VSiN.com for all the latest data and powerful betting tools. Start with our live odds, team comparisons, and previews for every game on the schedule. Then dive deeper with live tracking of betting trends and line movements. And don't miss our unique tools, including odds comparisons from sportsbooks across the country, prop bet search engine, and custom parlay calculator. Everything you need to increase your betting knowledge and confidence is at your fingertips. Visit VSiN.com today.
Our VSiN experts live and breathe sports betting, and we've assembled the best team here in Las Vegas and from sportsbooks across the country to help you learn how to become a better handicapper. We go beyond picks and predictions to discuss the numbers and analysis that matter to sports bettors. We are always on for you with TV, radio, and digital coverage. Get everything we have to offer, including our upcoming bracket betting guides for under $50 from now through the College Hoops Finals. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up for this special offer today.
Welcome back. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM from the MGM Grand in downtown Detroit. I'm Mike Sennett. James Salinas is in Denver, Colorado, and the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. It's Wes Reynolds. This is Betting Across America. Wes, get us up to date. What's happening? We have some three key early games going on, and some of these are inching towards a final. Michigan looking like they're going to close out a win, and a tight one now. At least it's tightening up in Lubbock between Texas and Texas Tech.
Yeah, a couple finals. Georgetown 68-60. Georgetown does get the cover. Game goes under the total, and that game is final. Georgia Tech about to close out Syracuse, and it looks like they've done so. 84-77, your final there in Atlanta. Big win for Georgia Tech, who are certainly on the bubble trying to play themselves into NCAA consideration. Syracuse probably going to need at least a couple wins in that ACC tournament. Minute 30 to go in Bloomington. 73-55, Michigan going to get the win. Game's likely going to go under the total as Michigan keeps their one seed on lock. And I think at this point, it's pretty much a certainty they're going to be a one seed. It's not a certainty whether Indiana is going to be in the NCAA tournament. They were kind of on that last four in terms of the various bracketologies, but they are right on the precipice right now. So like James mentioned, they're going to have to win a couple games on the road if they're going to be wanting to be dancing in the NCAA tournament, which is going to be hosted in their home state. I mean, not a very good look when the tournament, obviously due to COVID-19, is being moved to your home state and you as the flagship school of the state are not in it. So that's where Indiana finds themselves right now. 1:45 left to go, 62-58. Texas Tech leading Texas. Texas Tech did pull out to a double-digit lead, but nice fight from Shaka Smarts, guys, as we're down to a minute left here to go at in Lubbock. Texas Tech at the line, 62-58, the score currently. Also, a couple games in progress. South Carolina leading Georgia, 48-38, 15:30 left to go, second half. Gamecocks minus 5.5, 151.5 on the in-game total.
9 of the Longhorns' 20 games have been decided by 3 points or less this season. Texas 6-3 in those games. So Texas and Texas Tech going down to the wire in Lubbock in that rivalry matchup. Speaking of rivalries in the Big 12, it's back-to-back bedlam for Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. They will play today in Norman and then Monday in Stillwater. It's a nice COVID series for these two heated rivals. Cade Cunningham leading the Big 12 in scoring. The Cowboy is averaging 18.7 points a game. Oklahoma's Austin Reeves is right behind him, averaging 17.2 a game. And Reeves is red hot of late, scoring at least 20 in 4 of his last 5. James Salinas, 7th-ranked Oklahoma, laying 5 against Oklahoma State, the total 140.
Well, and I think Oklahoma State, it's a young team. There's no seniors on that roster either. And yeah, Cade Cunningham, spectacular player, freshman player, young player. And sometimes that team is, I noticed early on in the season, they kind of just deferred to him, especially when games got tight in the second half, and kind of just watched Cunningham kind of do his thing. And he's a good passer too. So it's not just give me the basketball and get out of my way. He will create for other players. And I think we're starting to see more chemistry build on the offensive side for Oklahoma. Oklahoma State. It just takes time because you're having so many young pieces to that team. And, you know, really nice win over Texas Tech on Monday, on Big Monday last week. So, you know, Oklahoma coming off a really bad loss to Kansas State here too. So, I don't know. I think Oklahoma State is starting to find themselves. They're very athletic and not a ton of size, but Oklahoma, it's, you know, not super athletic on the interior either. It's not a really athletic team. They had their COVID issues, and I think we saw some interchanging of some bench players. The young transfer that came over, he started to play more minutes from the starting position. He's probably their best athlete. I forget the kid's name, but ultimately, I think here I might lean towards, I haven't made a play on this, Wes, but I might lean towards Oklahoma State getting this number. You know, they've had this full week to practice again since that nice win at home against Texas Tech. Going on the road, yeah, I mean, it's in-state rivalry, right? So I think that perspective here, these teams will be both ready to play Oklahoma State, or Oklahoma wants to right themselves from that loss to K-State the other day. But Oklahoma State having another almost a full week of practice again to prepare for Oklahoma, who is really good in their sets. I think that's the challenge here. Oklahoma will make you work defensively through a full shot clock because they are very efficient with the basketball. But I kind of like if this game's tight. I may not play this game to start with, Wes, but as this game gets tighter, I may look for a live line for Oklahoma State here because I think when they get tight in the second half, they have the ability with Cunningham to be able to facilitate and make some plays when you just need an athlete to make something happen.
I actually do like Oklahoma State here in this spot, and this is one of those angles I like to play. When you look at the polls and the rankings, and sometimes I think they can get overrated, but you can look down in that column that says others receiving votes. And who's the first team in the others receiving votes? That's Oklahoma State. Teams want to get ranked here, and especially Oklahoma State, because they still have that NCAA tournament ban that, of course, they're still trying to appeal. Haven't heard the result of that. Might want to get cracking on that there in Indianapolis and give these guys a ruling. But nevertheless, three wins in a row for Oklahoma State. A win here certainly would put them easily in the top 25. And Oklahoma State still seems like they're a little disrespected in the market because of that tournament ban, and also because maybe people thought, okay, Cade Cunningham's going to be the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft. So, you know, this is just about getting his stats and his numbers, and these guys aren't going to care. Well, they absolutely care. This team has been undervalued, I think, in the market really all year long, and they go to the road here. They do have some nice wins on the road. They won at Marquette. They won at Wichita State. They won at Texas Tech. Those are three quality wins. The other ones in the league were Kansas State and Iowa State, who, of course, are really the bottom two teams in the conference. But nevertheless, this team's not a total unproven commodity on the road. So I actually like Oklahoma State in this spot here. And it hasn't just been all Cunningham. He's been as good as advertised. But Laquile, I believe I'm pronouncing his name, the guard for Oklahoma State, has been very good. And these guys have come together. I got to give Mike Boynton credit. He's done a really good job with this team because this could have went sideways. I was talking about this with them all on the pregame show. If we remember Memphis last year, everybody loved Memphis because they had James Wiseman and Penny Hardaway had this big recruiting class. Well, that went sideways and went sideways in a hurry, but they've kept focused here in a very tough year. So, I think Oklahoma State getting 5.5. If you want to wait for in-game, I certainly can't disagree with that. But I do like the Cowboys here. And speaking of the Big 12, Texas Tech going to dribble this out. Going to get the win 68-59. So Red Raiders going to cover all numbers and the money line. Also, game is going to stay under the total.
Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, the Sooners have won 18 of their last 20 at home against the Cowboys. You look at these teams, Oklahoma ranked 7th in the AP, but if you look at KenPom, they're down to 31st. So analytically, not, you know, fans of analytics, not a fan of Oklahoma. Oklahoma State ranked 40th, and as Wes mentioned, hoping for an appeal from the NCAA, sense of urgency, not necessarily part of the bureaucracy in Indianapolis's vocabulary in terms of getting it done for those kids. And that's the thing, right? These are student athletes. This may be their last opportunity to play in an NCAA tournament. Well, you know, the bureaucracy will not respond to that. Number two, Baylor, 1-17 all time in Lawrence against the Kansas Jayhawks. They're unbeaten, winners of 18 straight this season. James, they're laying 3.5 at number 17, Kansas, who's had their struggles this year. This is an intriguing matchup today in Allen Fieldhouse without fans in Lawrence.
Yeah, it is. And I think with Baylor, we saw that they had their own, like so many other teams, right, had their own basically a three-week COVID layoff and, you know, started slow. And we've seen that for a lot of these teams. Sometimes it takes a game or two. Sometimes it just takes a half for them to find their competitive legs. And that's what happened with Baylor. Fell behind early to Iowa State the other day on their first game back from that long extended COVID break, but then did what they needed to do in the second half and beat a bad I don't think Iowa State's won a basketball game yet in the conference. So big step up in class now with Kansas. Now, Kansas is not the same Kansas that we're used to seeing. They just don't have that. They don't have those big paint presence inside that self loves to play inside out. And I think with at the guard position, too, Garrett just really hasn't been that big playmaking guard that we're used to seeing from Kansas, where they need somebody to step up and make a shot or get somebody an open look. That's where those guards have stepped in, and Garrett just really hasn't filled that role for Kansas this year. But, you know, they have been playing better as of late and up and down season all season long for the Jayhawks. I just think still it's a big challenge for Baylor. Yeah, they just did just get a game under their belt, Wes, but that was against Iowa State. Now you're going to go on the road and play at Kansas. I was looking more so at from the defensive side. I know Baylor, the guards are tremendous, and they can score and create shots for others, create shots for themselves. I like Baylor a lot as a basketball team, and I think they're going to make a deep run into March. But I think in this standpoint here, it's going to take them a little while to also get acclimated on that side offensively, having to play against a Kansas team that you know will check you in the half court here. And so I didn't play this. I did actually shop around. So I did play the under in this first half. It was 64.5 at MGM, but I found actually a better price at 66.5 at even money as well. So I'm playing the under 66.5 points first half with Kansas Baylor today.
I actually think that's a good way to go, and I may follow suit here, James, because I did not know what to do with the side here. It was not a surprise to me that Baylor actually struggled a little bit with Iowa State, despite the fact that Iowa State, the Clones, are winless in Big 12 play because Baylor had 3 weeks off. And it's not just having it off. It's the fact that you had been undefeated and still are to that standpoint. The last thing you want to do, it's like in the NFL, when you're winning a bunch, you don't want a bye week. I mean, it was kind of like the team that got the fortuitous bye week was the Buffalo Bills when they got beat by the Hail Mary in Arizona. And then they had that bye week. Perfect time, because then they ran the table all the way to the AFC championship game. So you don't want a bye week when you're playing well. You don't want time off. So Baylor was a little bit sluggish. I'm not sure how sluggish they're going to be tonight. I mean, that number at 3.5 obviously looks like low-hanging fruit, but this is a Kansas team that I think has played, despite the fact they lost an OT the other night to Texas, they played better of late. But when you look at this Kansas team, they don't have the guards that Bill Self usually has there in Lawrence. I think this is definitely a downgrade in terms of the talent and the athletic ability. So I didn't know where to go with the side. I mean, it's still Kansas in the fog, so it's tough to not take points with them at home. But I think Baylor has proved to be the real deal. So I actually think I like where you're going there, James, with that under in the first half.
Baylor 1-17 all time at Kansas, and the Bears are playing for back-to-back wins against Kansas for the first time in school history. They won the first meeting in January, 77-69. Baylor opened the game with a three-pointer and never trailed in that victory in Waco. Baylor laying 3.5 at Kansas today. The Bears are unbeaten this season. Another team that experienced a COVID break and got back into action this week, the Creighton Blue Jays. They are 13th in the country, and they are a 4.5-point road favorite as they visit Xavier today, James.
Yeah, and Xavier's another team, right? I think Creighton is one of those teams that's the rare team that's been playing a full season. And I think when you play all, not only from a competitive standpoint, getting a rhythm going, playing teams, playing, you know, a couple games per week, but also you have practice time. And I think for college coaches, they're all teachers. They want to have time with their kids to continue to work and tweak on things based on past performances. And so I think with Xavier, yeah, having just all these struggles, they've had 11 games post postponed due to COVID, et cetera. So it's been really difficult stretch for the Musketeers. And I think Creighton, that's the thing with Creighton. They can score inside. They can score outside. It's not just relying on guards. They have post play as well and share the ball really well. And then we'll check you defensively when they actually come show up and ready to play. I guess the only concern for me here is I like Creighton in the spot. I don't really like it's just been a struggle all season long for Xavier to even get on the court and the practice court as well. But sometimes, you know, I'm a schedule guy and I like to look at schedules here. And the fact that they do have a game coming up against Villanova later this week, sometimes I get a little leery with that when we're taking a road team as a favorite in conference play here. I haven't played this game. I would lean towards the Blue Jays here. But sometimes when you have that big game and Creighton really dominated that game a couple weeks back against Nova, so they know they're going to get a great effort out of the Wildcats here come Wednesday. I get a little leery sometimes when I look at the schedule that deeply, Wes. So I haven't made a play on this, but if I did, I would be siding with Creighton.
Yeah, I haven't played it either. This is a big spot, though, for Xavier. Xavier is one of those handful of teams in those last four in, first four out, next four out. And Xavier, a lot of the bracketology guys have them in the tournament, and they've kind of been given the benefit of the doubt. They have one top 50 win this year. That was over Oklahoma back in December. Because of their pauses in terms of the season, and they've had a couple of them, they're not getting the opportunity to play Villanova this season, either, you know, either home or away or even both in a round-robin schedule. So this is the spot. This is really the last chance for Xavier to get a marquee win in the regular season because they go to Georgetown on Tuesday and then they go to Marquette next Saturday. Neither of those two teams would be in the NCAA tournament at this standpoint. So this is your one chance to get a marquee win. So we'll see how Xavier handles the pressure. I think four is about right for the price.
NBA news, DeMar DeRozan expected to play today for the Spurs. You're a 3.5-point home dog against New Orleans later on today, the total 231. More to come, college basketball, NBA, and much more in Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, rolls on from Detroit, Denver, and Las Vegas, here on VSIN, the Betting Kentucky Derby Trail reaches Arkansas and Florida this weekend. Those races are the focus of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. Hall of Fame trainer Steve Osmussen talks about the top Derby prospect, Jackie's Warrior, in the Southwest Stakes. John Preachy of Horse Race Insider has a preview of the Fountain of Youth, and VSIN's Vinny Maiulo handicaps the two races. There is also a comment on Churchill Downs' impending sale to of Arlington Park. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod, available for download now at vsin.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored by First Bet. Welcome back, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett from the MGM Sportsbook at the MGM Grand in downtown Detroit. James Salinas joins us from Denver, and Wes Reynolds is in the VSIN studios in Las Vegas. Guys, Kyrie Irving ruled out of the matchup today for the Nets at Barclays Center against the Mavericks, and we do have an upset in the early slate of college basketball games, Wes, as the Auburn Tigers pull off the upset at home against Tennessee.
They do. 77-72. Auburn gets the win outright as 8-point underdogs. So nice win for them without Sharif Cooper, and another head-scratching loss for Tennessee. You want to like this team, but boy, offensively, they just really struggle. It bore fruit today down there in Auburn. You mentioned Kyrie Irving not going to go tonight, so starting to get the market repriced a little bit. I'm seeing Brooklyn Nets now down from a 4-point favorite to about a 1-point favorite in certain shops. Still waiting on a price here at BetMGM. It was 3.5, but I expected that's going to be taken off the board expeditiously, and when it's put back up, it's probably going to be pick 'em or a 1-point favorite here for the Brooklyn Nets. Total might take a slight dip. I'm seeing about 234, 234 and a half.
What are you seeing in Denver, James, on the Brooklyn Nets Dallas Mavericks matchup today?
Yeah, right now it's down to Nets favored 1.5 at laying 5 cents, so juice towards the Mavericks as well. And the total is ticked down just a touch, 233.5. So obviously with Kyrie out, and that's the thing with NBA, right? We're seeing this a lot, whether it's due to a variety of things, injuries, rest, all kinds of different things pop up with the NBA. When you think certain players are going to be available, you don't hear anything about them having, in this case, it says shoulder injury for Kyrie Irving. We didn't hear anything about that. And then now, at least from this standpoint, it doesn't start for about 6 hours. So at least here in this case, if you were looking to play this game and you haven't bet it already, you know full in advance what that looks like as far as Kyrie being out. But I think that's the danger, and I think that's the ultimate lesson with the NBA this year in the age of COVID, is just to make sure that if you like a certain side, I kind of wait a little closer to game time, kind of similar to what we talk about a lot with the NFL, right, where I'd like to get some confirmation on player availability based on the inactive reports. In a sense, this isn't really an inactive report, but got to make sure a certain team, and Kyrie of that Brooklyn Nets, and especially on the offensive, you want the Nets that they're going to have a full complement of players that you were expecting. So tread lightly before you know that, making sure that you're confirming you have a full complement of available.
I suspect Kyrie's shoulder, he's trying to shoulder the problems of the world, that look on his face constantly, right? So maybe that's the injury there. 4 points was the spread. Brooklyn laying that number. It's down to 1.5 at many shops, including Denver. At Michigan, it's 1.5. And as you mentioned, James, it is juice to the Dallas Mavericks side, 1.5. Also today in the NBA, Philadelphia laying 11 at home against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Uncharacteristically, the Cavaliers have put together a two-game winning streak. The total, 223.5 in Philly.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this here too. Here's another one. I believe that we have I think Tobias Harris is going to be out for Philadelphia, and I think for the Sixers, they've been tremendous at home, 14-2 at home, and a lot of it starts on the defensive side. And I know with Embiid, he's just been a tough matchup for every team that's having to face him. But I think here, this will be interesting to see with the Cavs. They had that about a month ago. They swept the Nets, right? And then from there, I think they lost 10 straight. So not playing very well. And this definitely a team that doesn't play much defense. And then offensively, it's pretty much Jared Allen coming over from that three-way trade from the Nets. He has been actually their whole offense when it comes to he's not really getting post touches. He just pretty much runs around on the perimeter and sets ball screens. And they run a lot of screen and roll. So I think we'll see if they're going to pull Embiid away from the basket. Might see a pretty good game out of Jared Allen continue, but not a play I'm going to make today.
More to come. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM continues after this on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're on top of all the sports on today's schedule, as well as the future impacts of NFL trades, free agency, and draft choices to help you become a sharper, better for every game on the board. For are not about picks and predictions. We give you the analysis and insights you need to become a smarter, better on every sport. We have the best handicappers in the business, giving you the tools you need to create your own betting edge. And right now, for just $50, you can put our experts to work for you all the way through the College Hoops Final. You get everything we have to offer, including our members-only daily Best Bets emails, Point Spread Weekly Guides, and up-to-date power rankings, and the upcoming Bracket Betting Guide. And, of course, you get 24/7 video access and everything we do at VSiN.com. Sign up today to get everything we offer through the end of the College Hoops Tournament for just $50 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We're back on Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett with James Salinas and Wes Reynolds here on VSiN. Big 12 home favorites of more than 11 points have gone 15-1 straight up, 4-12 against the spread in the last 2 weeks of the regular season in the last 5 years. That's in this week's Point Spread Weekly from Steve Mackinnon. A great article there. You can find that at vsin.com if you're a subscriber. If you're not, go to vsin.com/subscribe. One team qualifies for that today, guys, with West Virginia, James, laying 15 points at home with the struggling Kansas State Wildcats.
Yeah, they do. And I think for West Virginia, they've had to switch how they play offense, right? When Tshiebwe back, it's been 2 months now, basically, it's right around the turn of the year when he left the program, and they're not nearly as big. They still have Culver down there, who's an absolute load, but they've really spread the floor now, playing a lot more four-out offense, a lot more driving lanes, and guys that actually have some ability to shoot the basketball and put it on the floor. They don't press nearly as much. They're not that type of team this year with Press Virginia, but offensively, much more efficient being able to score in the half court because they can score from the outside. We don't always see that with West Virginia teams out of Huggins. They like to just beat you up and bang you on the inside. I think with Kansas State, I mean, they had their nice win on over Oklahoma the other night, and this is where sometimes that's a big number here. You think about West Virginia and what their schedule is going, how their schedule is going to play out. You know, they've been playing very well in the Big 12s, won six out of their last seven, but they do have Baylor coming in. We'll see. These games have been moved around quite a bit, but they are supposed to have Baylor coming in to Morgantown on Tuesday. So sometimes, again, maybe that's a game where this could easily be a game where West Virginia is looking ahead. Not that they're going to lose this game at home to the Wildcats from Kansas State, but could be a little bit of a lesser spot where it's just not as much energy knowing that you're going to play top team in your conference, undefeated all season long. You're going to play the Baylor Bears coming up in a few days. Could see these college kids kind of looking ahead a little bit, Wes.
Yeah, and West Virginia, they've had that Baylor game, I think, postponed or moved at least twice. Currently, they're just going to play them one time. Obviously, in the Big 12 with 10 teams, they usually play home and home against everybody, but only seeing that they're maybe going to get that one crack at Baylor on Tuesday night down there in Morgantown. And I actually do like Kansas State a little bit in this spot. Kansas State, look, they've been near the bottom of the Big 12, but they actually have a winning streak, two in a row. Is it a coincidence or is it a streak? I don't know. But nevertheless, Kansas State does have two wins in a row. They won at TCU, got a nice win over Oklahoma, probably their game of the year. So now they're going on the road to West Virginia. And that's what you look at with some of these teams. We saw it, I think, the other night with Northwestern against Minnesota, where they had lost, 12 in a row in the Big Ten play and then get a win. Some of these teams aren't necessarily mailing in the season. They're still trying. And I think Bruce Weber's guys are still trying. And what they're really doing is they're really playing how they have to play. And they have to play this at a snail's pace. They're down to 306 in tempo. Average possession length is 313th slowest in the country. And it's been going downwards. It was just 62-54 at TCU last Saturday, 62-57 against Oklahoma. So that's what they're hanging their hat on. Play as good a defense as we can, milk the shot clock, slow the tempo. They can't run with West Virginia and some of these better teams and arguably the top conference in the country, the Big 12. So I thought 15 was actually a little bit generous here, and I like Kansas State.
Kansas State 1-10 against top 25 opponents this season, but that win Game Tuesday over number 7, Oklahoma, 62-57. Again, Steve Mackinnon's trend, Big 12 home favorites of more than 11 points in the last 2 weeks of the season and the last 5 years have gone 15-1 straight up, but to the number, just 4-12. Virginia Tech, well, they're coming off a loss. They had a long COVID layoff. Then they lost to Georgia Tech. They look to bounce back at the Castle Coliseum today. They're laying 10.5 at home against Wake Forest.
Yeah, I mean, Wake Forest. What is Wake Forest? I think Wake Forest is ready for this season to be finished right now. They've lost their last three games, and they've been averaging getting blown out by more than 20 points per game approximately. So what is Wake Forest going to do going into Virginia Tech, who, yeah, another team struggling through COVID layoffs. They did get Tyrese Radford back, so we know he got arrested and had to go through some things off the court last month, but he is coming back now, so he is one of their best playmakers and top scorers for that team. So Virginia Tech trying to get themselves through the gauntlet of the COVID issues, and now you get a team where you're going to be playing a Wake Forest team that just at this point with the season, when you've had such a bad season, especially going on the road, might be different if you're playing at home and still rally around it. You know, these college kids have had to make a lot of sacrifices of how they're living a college life these days, so I think a team like Wake Forest, I could easily see them mailing it in. I don't know if I'd lay such a big number here, Wes, but I can only side with Virginia Tech in this
It'd
matchup.
Probably be the Hokies or nothing for me, because if you recall, Tuesday night, they did lose at home to Georgia Tech, 69-53. That was their first game back after 17 days off due to COVID-19, and we know that teams that are coming back in that first game, especially if they have 14 or more days of a layoff, only about maybe 42-43% coming back. So that was a difficult spot. But now you do at least have a game under your belt. Virginia Tech, I think, would be in the tournament, 14-5, 8-4 in the ACC. But and they do have quality wins, Villanova and Duke, Virginia, really good wins. So I would think they would be safely in. But still, you want a little bit of insurance this late in the season. So I would be laying before I'd be taken. I think this is a good spot for VT to get right.
A couple of intriguing ACC games are on the schedule later on today. We'll talk Louisville at North Carolina. Duke at home with Louisville, Florida State at North Carolina, the Dean Elman Chapel Hill. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM continues from Detroit, Denver, and Las Vegas here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Sign up with BetMGM for a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on Canelo Alvarez to win. Just use the bonus code VSIN100, VSIN100. And you don't forget, you have to watch the fight live on DAZN at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. BetMGM is the exclusive odds provider of DAZN's U.S. boxing broadcasts. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. We're back on Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, And at the VSiN studios in Las Vegas, it's Wes Reynolds. And Wes, get us up today to what's happening right now in college basketball.
Yeah, a lot of the late afternoon games, or the mid-afternoon games, I should say, have tipped off. Illinois 29-24, 2 minutes left to go in the first half against Wisconsin. Wisconsin did make a nice run. They were down by double digits, so they have slowly crawled their way back. Illinois minus 1.5, 131.5 on the total. And LSU leading Arkansas under 4 minute timeout, 30-27. Hogs minus 2.5, 156.5 at BetMGM. Mild upset going on in the ACC, considering the mess that, unfortunately for Boston College, that their program has been. Of course, they fired Jim Christian a couple weeks ago. They've had a couple guys suspended that broke COVID protocols. Very shorthanded team, but nevertheless, putting it to the Irish. 2:30 left to go in the first half. 40-30 BC with the lead. BC now has moved to a 3.5 point favorite, 165.5 on the total. BC was a 7 point underdog going into this game. Halftime down in Clemson, Miami does cover their first half, 34-30 Clemson over Miami. Clemson laying 13 for the game, 8 for the first half, so Miami gets there for the first 20 minutes. And Arizona leading Washington 25-24, 4:05 left to go. I believe this is Arizona's last home game in Tucson this year, because they are not eligible due to sanctions to play in the Pac-12 tournament here in Las Vegas, and therefore not available to play the NCAA tournament.
Number 11, Florida State on the road at North Carolina, the Dean Dome in Chapel Hill. James, the Seminoles, winners of four straight, are laying 2.5. North Carolina blown out by Marquette at home on Wednesday, in which they allow the Golden Eagles to shoot 51.4% from the field. And North Carolina had 19 turnovers in that one. The line now down to Florida State laying 1 in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, this one, it's so strange to see North Carolina as a home dog, right? But I think that's where – I don't know how much to put into that game against Marquette the other night. Obviously, that was a makeshift impromptu, kind of an impromptu scheduled game. And obviously, for Marquette going there, anytime – because that's not their conference, right? So anytime you get to go and go play at the Dean Dome, those kids are going to be excited to go to back road, go play the North Carolina Tar Heels. And in this sense here, maybe – Carolina was looking ahead to Florida State. All right, we have a non-conference game coming in. We're not really interested in playing that. We got FSU and get ourselves right, because they did lose down there a few weeks back. But, you know, they did play really sloppy, did Carolina. They had 19 turnovers, 20 fouls. They were never really in the game. They trailed 16 points at halftime. And you look at those numbers, and it kind of dispels it out that, yeah, North Carolina really was unfocused and could have been looking ahead to the Seminoles game here. I haven't played this Wes, I would lean towards Carolina, but you're losing that number considering its money's coming in on the Tar Heels, which makes sense as the home dog here. And I really want to see from this standpoint with Florida State, not sure what the status is of their leading scorer with MJ Walker, if he's going to play or not. He did miss the other day, but really want to see, is Florida State, because there's starting to be some talk about there, are they going to be able to move up to maybe a 2 line, right? And we'll see how they go through the ACC conference. But these are the kind of games, if you want to move up to that 2 line come March, these are the kind of games that you need to go on the road and win and beat, even though it's not the same North Carolina team that we've seen in years past. It is still kind of a big win when you do win on the road at UNC.
Yeah, and I did take this overnight. I took 3, so losing a little bit of value now if you want to take Carolina. But I do think that this is a little bit of the buy low, or the buy low, sell high spot on Florida State. And what you said about Carolina, I don't want to say I'm going to ignore it, but it was a careless effort against Marquette. And I think Marquette was a little bit more hyped to go play. Okay, we get to go play North Carolina. This was not obviously a previously scheduled game. And sometimes when you get that game out of conference and you're in the grind of conference play, you know, you see a team come up flat, and that's what happened with Carolina. Roy Williams has usually been pretty good off a loss over the years. And what you mentioned about Walker is not only true, but when are we going to see that regression of 3-point shooting from Florida State? You got to think it's coming. In conference play, they're shooting almost 42% from a 3-point range. And their offense has really been better than their defense. It's usually for Leonard Hamilton's guys, defense carries the way, but it's been their shooting that's been carrying the way. So maybe we're going to get a little 3-point regression. That's something I like to try to handicap a little bit. Carolina, obviously, they're not playing as much of transition because, I mean, I don't want to say they have no talent, but they're a little down on talent by standards. So they're actually playing better defense this year than they have been in terms of their offense. It's usually breakneck pace for Roy Williams' guys, but not necessarily this year. So UNC, though, I think one feather in their cap here, at least, is they're one of the few teams that I think have the size to compete with Florida State. You look at Florida State, they're kind of that all airport team or all bus depot team where it's like they get off the bus. It's like, how the hell is anybody beating these guys? These guys got athletes for days and length for days and a very tall team. North Carolina's got the size, at least I think, that has a chance to defend them. So I did take them plus three here. Obviously, wait on the number and see if some late money comes in on Florida State. But I do like the Heels to bounce back.
Marquette's coach also. Steve Wojciechowski.
Yeah. First time he's ever won in North Carolina. Yeah. I don't think he ever won there as a player, but he has as a coach now.
And he despises North Carolina, that heated rivalry between the two. So you know he jumped on that opportunity and had his kids focused and ready to go. You mentioned carelessness. North Carolina did turn the ball over 19 times in that loss. Now at Cameron Indoor Stadium, just down the road a bit from the Dean Dome, Duke hosting Louisville. And the number posted, Duke laying 5.5 points against the Cardinal. 141.5 the total at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Yeah, and Louisville, another team. This is a recurring theme, right? Another team having to deal with they had a three-week COVID layoff and coming back and just got throttled at UNC, but then bounced back and now have two games under their belt. Did beat Notre Dame the other night, although I think Notre Dame is starting to, after that crushing loss where they blew a 20-point second-half lead last week at Syracuse, I think Notre Dame knows they're off that tournament bubble if they were even on it to begin with. But ultimately here, I think this is going to be whether it's Jim Boeheim was right about Jalen Johnson or not. Duke has definitely played better since he is not part of the ball club anymore, and I think it starts on the defensive end. Yeah, they lit him up from three that first half against Syracuse on Big Monday, but Duke is as being more aggressive in their ball screen defense, and it's showing out here. So I didn't play the side here, but I did play the total. I hit it at 142, so I'm playing under in this contest, 142.
Yeah, and that makes sense here. And it almost seems like the spot. And I've been riding Duke a little bit lately. I started to ride them actually when Jalen Johnson left the program because I knew what Coach Gay was going to do. And he was going to sell to his guys, hey, we're all in here. And this guy wasn't all in on our program here. So, probably use some very colorful language to describe that. But look, whatever he said, his kids were buying it. And they've won now four straight going in. But maybe this could be the sell high spot a little bit for Duke and maybe laying a little bit too much here. Louisville, of course, that first game back at North Carolina where they got blown out, where they had almost, 19 days in between games. And we mentioned 42-43% in terms of covering that first game back. So Louisville got absolutely boat raced, and then they rebounded against Notre Dame. So sometimes you need at least that one game to rebound a little bit, does Louisville. They do have Malik Williams back, who had not played all season. He actually returned in that North Carolina game, their 6'11 big man. Did play a few more minutes in the game against Notre Dame, played 26 minutes, only 6 points, but did have 10 rebounds. So he was supposed to be their starter at center, has not played all season, and now you're getting him back. And if you're looking at these power ratings, that doesn't necessarily take that into account. That now you've got a 6'11 big guy that all of a sudden Duke's bigs, Matthew Hurt and company, are going to have to deal with. So I think you're getting a little premium in the line here if you like Louisville. I have not bet this game yet. Certainly James's analysis on the under makes sense. But leaning with the Cardinals here because both these two teams, Duke's kind of playing their way back into NCAA tournament consideration, and Louisville's kind of hanging by a thread. If you look at their at-large seed, they'd probably be like a 10 seed more than likely. But a loss here drops you down kind of where you're in that last four in bubble situation.
Real quick, James, I know you have a couple of NBA plays that you would like to give out before the end of the show. Let us know about those.
One Oklahoma City playing at home plus +7. They're 0-2 against Denver, but both of those were here in the Mile High City. Denver's tired. They're banged up. This is going to be a competitive spot for Oklahoma City, so I'll take them at home plus +7. And then I do have one prop in the NBA. Weird scheduling spot for the Washington Wizards. Just came back from a nice road trip, 3-1 road trip out on the Western Conference, playing a bad team at a conference today against the Minnesota Timberwolves, worst team in the league. And then they play at Boston tomorrow, so I don't know if we're going to see much of a defensive effort. We usually don't see it out of the Wizards either. I'm going to take Ricky Rubio. He's going to have to run the show now with Beasley and D'Angelo gone. Over 7.5 assists, you're getting at a plus +120 on BetMGM.
For Wes Reynolds and James Salinas, I'm Mike Sennett. This has been Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.